Two down, two to go. So Chatur Shloki. Verse number 2. Text 34. What were some of the main points? Of that one. Uter tamya pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidyad atmanomayam yatha bhaso yatha tamaha. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Though it has my illusory energy, that reflection, abhasa, which appears to be in the darkness. Points from the verse that you can recall this morning? It was a long time ago, I know.
You were discussing about the two kinds of illusion. The first kind of illusion and two concepts, two wrong other things, two kinds of illusion. One kind of illusion is that one thinks that this material energy is existing with no connection with the Supreme Lord. So one takes to sense gratification. He sees no connection of the mental energy with the Supreme Lord. The second kind of illusion is one thinks that both the living entity and the Supreme Lord are formless. So that leads to impersonalism. Both of these are illusory concepts. And they have...
Okay. Go ahead.
While we discussed about what is Maya, we were discussing that anything which has, which seems to have by itself its existence or any value apart from the Supreme Lord, anything which is not at all related to the Supreme Lord, that is actually Maya. And we were discussing about also that the matter and the spirit, the living entities, they correspond to the shadow and reflection of the actual truth.
Okay. There was, does anybody recall some of the specific points that Prabhupada made? Well, about them, for the living entity, which is the reflection of Krishna, to perform anything, he's dependent. And, of course, matter doesn't move without living entity, but the living entity can't move matter without the Supreme, so that the strength or capacity of matter is also dependent for its existence and to do anything. So the thought of non-dependence is Maya. Anything else? Akshay.
In the presence of direct sunlight, there is no reflection and there is no darkness. So, okay. In the presence of Lord Krishna, then we don't have this illusory conception of having living entity being apart from Krishna, so that living entity being
okay.
And in this context, we are also mentioning that when one is situated in light, that is real knowledge, that it dissipates fear.
Yeah. Very good. I was just going to prompt that one. Was there something said about fear in relation to this? So the position of in Vaikuntha, there's no fear, and in this material world, there's no light, no knowledge, and so there's naturally there's fear. Very good. Anything else?
We were mentioning that this energy is illusory, it is not false. As the Mayavadi say, it is false, but it is existing itself.
Yeah. Good.
Are perceiving it as independent from the Lord.
Right. That was in the very beginning. That was in connection with this, the first of the two kinds of illusion. So, because a rope is not a snake, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It exists as a rope. An oasis or a appearance of water in a desert doesn't, it's not water, but it is something. Okay. There was some discussion that the word vidyat in the text has some specific meaning. Vidyat. Tad vidyat atmano mayam yata bhaso yata tamaha. Vidyat, you must know. So, what was said about that? Yeah. Yeah. What was the metaphor? Finding the sun with the use of
trying to see the sun with the torchlight or flashlight. Find the sun through
it. It doesn't make sense. So one's tiny human intellectual capacity is not the instrument for disclosing the existence of the Supreme Lord. Discloses itself. Therefore, vidyat, you must know. Can anybody recall something about scientists that was discussed? Remember about the scientists? If you don't remember, who can remind him? Yeah.
We were mentioning that the scientists try to explain the creation of the material universe and the functioning of this body independent of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
And that is the covering potency of the Lord.
Yeah.
Covering feature of the illusion potency of the Lord.
Okay. In general, it's not only scientists do that, but it goes on in other forms as well. So conceptions of the Supreme that are speculative and misconceptions of the Supreme is part of the covering potency of the Supreme. Or should we move on? Okay. So now, the third. Text 35. Yata mahani bhutani bhuteshu chavat Cheshvanu Pravishtani Apravishtani. This Upanishadic double talk. Pravishtani Apravishtani. tatateshu nateshvaham. Da 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 da. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So, oh, Brahma, please. No, this is a blessing. This is like a benediction. Again, it's like this vidyat. Please, no. Okay. Just by the Lord saying, please, no, you know that he knows it, because he's giving him the capacity to know. Please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. Behold my mystic opulence. Yoga Maishwarya. Very similar to Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, who read this verse in purport? Anyone read it? Okay, for those of you that didn't read it, would you care to venture a guess how this works, how the elements of the cosmos enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos? Please answer without speculation. Because it actually has a straightforward meaning, a very straightforward meaning. Let's go to the next one, because this we know from Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Lord exists within everything created and at the same time is outside of everything. You've all read Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. So, how do we understand this one? How does he exist within everything created and at the same time exist apart from everything created? You know. You all know.
Everything has a relationship with the Supreme.
And how does everything have a relationship with the Supreme Lord?
The Lord expands himself as
Paramatma. Ah! And when he expands himself as Paramatma, he disappears from Vaikuntha, right? He still exists in Vaikuntha. He can expand without reducing himself. Om Purnama Dat Purnamidam. No problem. So, as he does with Super Soul, he expands himself as Super Soul for the purpose of creation, because he's very merciful and he wants to accompany the living entity and make sure that all the requirements of the living entity are met, just because he's so compassionate. He doesn't have anything to do, but he's just compassionate, so he does that. In the same way, the elements of creation are expanded, but they have their, you would say, primordial, or have their spiritual counterpart in the Vaikuntha region. Isn't it so? Because if you recall from the last time I was here, when Brahma saw the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha, was he alone? Is the Lord ever alone? He's never alone. And who was surrounding him? All these energies that expand themselves to form the material creation, because the Lord wants it so, and so they expand themselves. But they don't go out of existence because they expand themselves. Om Purnama Dat Purnamidam. See, you knew the answer. Without speculating, you knew the answer. So, I want to point out the fact that for those of you that didn't read this verse, the purport shows four pages, and in four pages, Prabhupada uses one word 15 times. And that word is mystery. So, without speculating, what's the meaning of this word mystery? I'll give you a hint. We already spoke about it last time I was here. Yeah. Devotional service. And could you elaborate a little bit? What did the before the Supreme Lord spoke these Chaturasloki verses, he referred to something mysterious. And what was that?
And only through devotion service one can access it. In other words, devotion service is also mysterious. It's not that anyone can access that particular thing without the mercy of the Supreme Lord through descending succession.
There we go. So, in that verse, Sarahasyam is the term that Prabhupada has translated as mystery. And Sarahasyam Tadangam Cha. Tadangam is translated as the paraphernalia Cha. And so the process of devotional service and everything you need to render devotional service is accompanied by the process, just like you have a tongue and an ear. There's some paraphernalia for you for the process of devotional service. For hearing and chanting the message of Krishna. And whatever other things may also be required. Some little photocopied material, this is also paraphernalia. Krishna manifests these things, you know, to help us render devotional service. And devotees do some service to help prepare these things. But it's all part of the mystery of devotional service. Now, here in this verse, in addition to identifying the mystery as devotional service, Prabhupada adds another dimension to the meaning of this term mystery, or the application of this term mystery. And what is that? I'll give a hint. Anyone want to guess? Yeah. Well, that's also mentioned as part of the process of devotional service. One is sadhana, and the other is sadhya. So, there's the hint. What's the other? So that the other meaning of this, the other application of this term, sarahasyam, is the fruit of devotional service, love of God. And he concludes by saying that that's actually what is wanted. And that becomes very important in the next verse, where it translates that this should be that the inquisitive person should search out the Supreme Absolute Truth up to this. And up to this means this sarahasyam, and specifically in terms of the fruit of devotional service, love of God. Regaining our loving service to Krishna up to the stage of prema. There's a very wonderful sentence which I want to read that describes. Well, there's two things I want to do here. There, in the purport, there are these references to Brahma Samhita Shlokas, 537 and 535. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavi Tabista Birya Eva Nijarupa Teya Kalabi Goloka Eva Nivisatya Kilatma Bhuto. I worship the Supreme Personality of God in Govinda, who, by expansion of his internal potency of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss, enjoys in his own and expanded form, simultaneously, he enters into every atom of the creation. He's existing in both realms, as the second half of this verse says. Then the expansion of his plenary parts is also more definitely explained in Brahma Samhita 535. Eko pyaso rachayatam jagadandakotim yachchaktirasti jagadandachaya yarantaha andantarasta paramanuchayantarastam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of God at Govinda, who, by one of his plenary portions, enters into the existence of every universe and every particle of the atoms, and thus unlimitedly manifests his infinite energy all over the material creation, although he exists outside of it as Govinda, tending the cows and playing upon his flute and sporting with the cowherd boys. So it's two different realms that he's functioning within simultaneously, and his, likewise his energies. They don't take a vacation from the spiritual world during the time of cosmic manifestation. They also are existing there in their spiritual identities, assisting him in his pastimes in the spiritual realm. So, this is mysterious, and it's not understood except through this descending mercy method. So, let's see. First paragraph, then these Brahma Samhita slokas. Second paragraph, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. That's the means of realizing this. Then the next paragraph begins, therefore, although he is present in every atom, Supreme Personality of Godhead may not be visible to the dry speculators, still the mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotee, because their eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. Then the next, so by being engaged in the process of devotional service, next paragraph I want to read. This transcendental devotional service of the Lord is so wonderful that the occupation keeps the deserving devotee